Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. I'm John Norman alongside Steve Harmison, looking back at day one of the second test match between Pakistan and England. A 12-wicket day. There were runs, there was a debutant, there was a 7-for, there could have been a 10-for. It all went off in Multan, but at the end of day one, I think Pakistan will be the happier of the two sides. I will see if Steve Harmison agrees here on the Following On podcast. So if you're listening to the show by now, you no doubt know. England, winning the toss, looked a useful one to win. Bowled out just before the tea break for 281. They lasted 51 overs. And the run rate was up there with what we saw in Rawalpindi. But the wicket column, after England got to 117 for one, it just went bang, bang, bang. And the reason for that was a debutant. I will suggest that few out there knew who Abrar Ahmed was before today, Charlie Reynolds aside. But it was Ahmed who took the first 7 wickets to fall. And at one stage, it looked like he might take all 10 on debut. That wasn't to be. Mahmood nipped out the last 3. England bowled out for 281. And then despite taking Umam Ul-Haq's wickets at early doors, Jimmy Anderson getting the edge, Ul-Haq going for a zero, for a duck, Pakistan batted quite nicely. Jack Leach struggled a little bit. He was given the new ball with Jimmy Anderson. Shafiq finally perished, caught behind. Good ball by Leach, actually. But at stumps, on day one, Pakistan have made their way to 107 for two, with Babar Azam going at just shy of a runner ball 61, and Saud Shakil 32 not out. So plenty to discuss here on the Following On podcast.
Story of the day.
So, Harmy, interesting day today. Plenty to discuss. But the rights and wrongs of England's approach, we can discuss for sure. But, you know, I'll be honest with you, they look like they were panicking a little bit against the 24-year-old Ahmed. I mean, there were so many sweeps and reverse sweeps. That's the way they're going to be going about things. But when you look at the wickets, Duckett LBW on the sweep, Root LBW on the sweep, Jack's LBW on the slog sweep, Leach out first ball, attempting a slog reverse sweep. You know, you just gotta wonder, okay, credit to the young man on debut, but I just wonder about England's approach.
Yeah, if you're going to praise England last week for the way they played, I think you've also got to give them a little bit of leeway on. I'm loath to always say this is the way he played when he get out, because sometimes you have to read the room, and I think the room was a lot different to last week. I thought I don't mind England sweeping at all. I think they've proved that they've been working hard at it. I don't think it was the shot selection was the problem. I think the shot execution more to the fact that brought England's downfall. It needed one player, didn't it? It needed one player to go from, well, when Ben Duckett got top scored with 63, Ollie Pope 60. It needed one player to go and get a big 100 or 100 like last week to get that total to 350 and beyond. Because I think if England had got 350 on this surface, then they definitely would have been in a position, definitely would be in a position to bowl last on it, having won the toss and batted first. Now with 281 on the board, I think the game's quite evenly balanced for the pitch the way it is. England spinners have got to bowl better, but from a batting point of view, I just think read the situation that little bit better and England could have been somewhere closer to 350 as opposed to 280. Because as you mentioned, 117 for one, you're looking at it and you're thinking on this surface, it's already turned on day one. Yeah, you put it into context. You're right. Nobody had really seen too much of Pakistani spin bowler who he didn't really turn it massively. He just turned it enough. Ahmed, he just turned it enough. And I think the wicket which probably summed England up was Ben Stokes, when his reaction when he got bowled outside past the outside edge. And it was a shock of horror. It was a Stuart Broad look when Ben Stokes caught that catch at Trent Bridge, just to say, wow, I didn't pick that. I didn't realise you had that. I didn't know you could bowl that like that. And he knocked Ben Stokes over. And to be fair, Ben Stokes had faced 37 bowls by then. So he had been in quite a bit of time. I think that just shows you that. Did they think that the spinner wasn't good enough? Did they think that the people would just dominate like they did in Rawalpindi? I'm not so sure. I just don't think. I think there are situations sometimes when gung-ho, the way England are going, it's fantastic and it's great. But at one point, Ben Duckett and Ollie Pope are going. And I mean, Babar Azam's got a one-day field. Not a test field, he's got a one-day field. And you're just thinking, yeah, if you can hit that in a one-day game, which is a 50-over game, you're still trying to get the biggest number you could possibly get. In a one-day game, you'd just look to run it around. You'd still look to hit the gap, get one, get two, turn the board over. In a test match, then put pressure on Babar Azam to bring the field up. Then you can go back to the hard sweeps and the reverse sweeps. Just think, I love the way they're playing, but sometimes I've just got to read the room a little bit better, the situation. And I think that's the difference between them getting a 350-plus score and being bowled out for 281, where I think England might be batting last on this surface if Babar Azam gets in.
Yeah, he looked in good form, didn't he? Ominous form, actually. England will be desperate to get rid of him early on day two. How did you feel Jack Leach bowled? Certainly in comparison, different types of bowler, obviously. But when you see all 10 wickets going the way of spin, even Mahmood was on a hat-trick. How did you feel Jack went?
I didn't think he bowled as well as he could have bowled on that surface. I think sometimes, you know, John, there's a pressure on a bowler when it's turning from a spin bowler's point of view. It's like you turn up to Headingley on a green seamer and it's overcast. The Lords, you win the toss, bowl first with a sloping play and it's overcast and it's damp morning. I tell you what, when your captain says we'll win the toss and bowl first, you're under pressure to perform because you've got to put the ball in the right area, you've got to take wickets. That's what your captain's asked you to do. Where Jack's got a pitch that's turning and probably fluffed his lines once and over, I would say. He bowled a bit flat. He bowled very low. I couldn't understand it. His action looked very, very low, and it's something that probably him and Jeetan Patel will probably talk about right now at this minute and go through a few deliveries that Jack's bowled because he looked very, very low. I know he bowls a low arm anyway, but he literally was bowling, round arm, and that bowling like that, you're not going to get it turning. There's no way you can get it turning. You look at Will Jack's over the top, big, high, tall action, and he got in four overs. He probably got more balls to turn than Jack Leach. And Joe Root bowled probably from somewhere in between when it comes to the angle of where the deliver where the arm comes over. But I think Jack will look at them 12 overs and say, I probably could have bowled better. I would go as far as to say that he bowled one bad ball and over. And against teams in Asia, you're going to get punished. And that ball that just slid on was just a little bit too short. And when it's a bit too short across there, they're quick to punish it. And Babar Azam definitely punished it. So Jack will be wanting to be better tomorrow. I didn't think England bowled badly at all. I thought Mark Wood bowled quickly. Interesting selection that Robinson played, and he hasn't bowled yet, but I can understand they're probably trying to keep him for when the ball starts reversing, along with Ben Stokes, hasn't bowled yet. But Jacks was probably more encouraging from a spin bowler's point of view because he got the ball to turn. But at that time, Babar Azam was in and set and going well. And you just want Jack Leach to be your one that's challenging the outside edge as well as the one going on to sort of challenge the front pad past the sort of inside edge. And he really didn't either.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Moment of the day.
A moment of the day, for sure, the seventh for Ahmed. But it was a crazy first session. We saw Ben Duckett overturn a LBW decision successfully. Saw Ollie Pope overturn a leg before decision successfully. And then we saw Joe Root get given out after being knocked out on field. And the same thing happened with Ben Duckett. It looked pretty tricky for the umpires out there. And actually, when you look at some of those, when you look at some of those decisions, the reverse sweeps, there was one, Ollie Pope's, you kind of hope the umpire sees it, the ball hit the gloves. But there was one on Ben Duckett, which I thought, actually, that should have been upheld. The ball looked as though it was hitting the glove on the way to the pad. But at the same time, where there was a little snicko, the bat was clearly hitting the ground. So how you could prove enough to overturn that on-field decision, I'm still not quite sure about. But certainly it looked difficult for the umpires this morning.
No, it was difficult. I think whenever you bring in a turning ball and you've got players who will play cross-bat shots, i.e. sweep shots, it makes it ridiculously hard for the umpire. And a lot of the umpires now will not give the decision, unless it's blatantly obvious, they'll not give the decision and hope that, you know, third umpire, the DRS will come into play, captains will go for the referral because, obviously there's more eyes around the bat who will say, yes, he's hit it, or no, he hasn't hit it. There was a couple of them which were tied, probably not given out. Alim Dar gave two out, I think, and I could understand why he didn't give them out because he was like, I think they've pitched, because of how short the ball was, they must have pitched outside leg stump. And as it happened, the pitch just on line. But the one that you're talking about, I was amazed when he just dismissed it. It was Joe Wilson in the third umpire's chair. He just completely dismissed it. It was just like one look at it. Oh, that's enough, big enough spike. And there was a one a bit later on as well. I'm sure it was a left hander. It might have been Ben. I think it was Ben Stokes. Might have been Ben Stokes. But Ben Stokes has come forward, and it was like he was just outside the line, and he went, it's too much to tell whether it's inside edge or it's pad first. And he went, there's bat involved. So he just dismissed it, and they didn't see the ball tracking or anything else to go with it. Didn't go through the procedure. So from that point of view, that was disappointing from watching, because I can't believe he could tell from the angle straight on that the ball's hit the glove. And I actually don't think the ball hit the glove. I actually think the bat hit the ground, and that's where the spike was. I think the ball hit the pad. And then obviously that was a different decision altogether. So yes, I'll stick up for the umpires, because it's very, very difficult when you're playing cross bat sweep shots and the ball's turning and trying to work out. And sometimes, you know, John, in that situation, it wouldn't bother me if the umpire goes, look, I don't know if it's hit the bat, the pad, or the bat's hit the ground first, because they're all happening together. It's probably one of the unique things, you know, the unprecedented things that it's happened for one of the first times I've ever seen that. Normally, you normally get a good indication whether it's hit one of the three first. But on that situation, I don't think you could be sure, because it looked as though it was like all that close together. And if the umpire comes back and says, look, I'm not sure, you're going to have to stick with your on-field decision because it's so close to everything, let's just get on with the game. If he had said that, then fine. But just to dismiss it off the first front-on angle, I thought that was lazy umpiring, I thought.
What is going to happen tomorrow? Okay, Harmy, what's going to happen tomorrow then? 12 wickets falling today, 11 of them going the way of spin. Is this pitch going to deteriorate in the way that it didn't in the first test? Is it going to get better to bowl on for spinners? I mean, how do you read it?
No, I think it's definitely going to get better to bowl on for spinners. I think England have got to hope that reverse swing comes into play, and would it 95, 96 mile an hour bowling sort of at, you know, toe crushers, along with Ben Stokes, Ollie Robinson and Jimmy Anderson come into play. I think England have got to hope that is their big strength rather than the spin strength if it comes later on in the game. I've got a horrible feeling that the difference between the game is going to be what Babar Azam gets. You know, England's top score is 63. If Babar Azam goes on and gets 120, then the difference between winning and losing the game could be 60 runs, and that could be the match winner. England have got to get Babar Azam out in the first 40 minutes tomorrow morning, because if they don't, his innings, the difference between his top score and England's top score could be the difference between losing the game. And if he goes on to get 120, Pakistan could go and get 400. And if they go and get 400, England might only bowl once on this surface, because as we've seen, Abra, Mohammed, got the ball to turn on day one. So on end of day three, there could be a real handful for the England batsmen. So as Babar Azam as ever is the big man, he's the big fish, he's the big wicket. And if England can remove him tomorrow, England have a chance of bowling Pakistan out for 281. If they don't, then if they're staring down a barrel of anything over 350, I think England are potentially going to Karachi for a match, a series deciding test match.
We shall see. All eyes on Babar Azam. Reports throughout the day on Talk Sport with myself and me and Harmy. We'll be back following on from day two of the second test match between Pakistan and England.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.